Stu, as we look back at today's game, what would you say the highlights were?
The highlights of today's program were some interesting things going on in Afghanistan, still to this moment. We get into some of the developments with the Nazarene Fund and how that all those efforts are going on. We have to be a little bit vague here, but
yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah,
stuff.
Johnny Moore is telling us what the White House is now working on. Maybe we pull all of our troops out of Iraq. That was a story today.
We talk about Glenn's public meltdown on my program, Stu Does America, last night.
You
can see that all over the internet. In fact, it's almost everywhere at this point.
And we also tell you the CDC and their changing of language. They're not in their own lane. They're way out of the lane into telling us what is healthy language. That and the cancer that is Stu. All on today's podcast.
Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and throw us a rating and review as well. 5 stars is the appropriate number of stars. You've got this program you're listening to right now, as well as Stu Does America, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Unfair. Let's be honest. It might be 4 stars, but you have to give us 5 stars. It might be 1 star, but you have to give us 5 stars.
Yeah, it's a moral imperative.
It is. Enjoy the podcast here.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Stu's been talking to me about my opening monologue here on on being pro-life, and now for the other side.
Oh, is that?
I mean, I'm just saying, that's what it sounds like.
That's what it sounded
like to me. That's what I heard. That's what America's about to hear.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It's good to see you smiling. It's good to see you smiling.
Yes, thank you.
After yesterday's Stu Does America,
America melted down
on national television.
American might not hear that you are completely pro-choice. I mean, let them decide.
Oh, yeah. And people might think you're sane after watching that interview.
Thank you very much for that. Thank you. I appreciate it. I actually watched that interview. I don't think I've ever... Have I ever been like that?
You were raw. I mean, you came out of a briefing where you got some particularly disturbing news about all of the efforts in Afghanistan and everything that's going
on. Very disturbing.
That we can't really talk about yet, but you were just at the end of your rope, which was understandable.
Yeah.
Of course you didn't handle it well.
Just that I said that I would relinquish my passport and move to Canada, which I stand by. I stand by that.
Yeah, no, you stood by it. I mean, there were a couple things we had to take out just for security reasons, but everything else we put in there. And you said that, and you stood by it. And so, I mean, I don't know that criticizing...
And I want to thank you for putting it on social media. That was nice. It was nice.
I do think it was really important for people to see. I mean, to see, with all the stuff you've been doing behind the scenes and all the stuff everybody that's involved in this effort has had to go through in such an impossible time. I mean, I think it really showed sort of what's going on off the air. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wound up happening on the air, but it didn't feel like it.
No, it didn't.
Did you know we started the interview?
Yeah,
I wasn't sure. At one point, I'm like, does he know he's on camera?
It was weird. It was weird.
Yeah.
Very weird.
But anyway, you can watch it. We'll make sure we send it out again.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Anyway, so Stu's for killing babies.
No, I'm not. Oh, really? All right.
All right.
I was listening to your monologue where you're like, if you want to, in other states, want to kill babies, go ahead. That's totally fine. I just don't want to do it in Texas. Is that your position?
No, it's here's
okay.
Such a jerk. Here is my stance on that is we're already in a cold civil war. We already live in two separate countries. We do. We don't understand each other at all. And apparently nobody wants to listen to each other. So you know what? If you are so, I just love killing babies because I'd never heard of something called a condom. Then you know what? You should go move to where, you can make all the ovens that you want. We'll continue to stand against it and point to you and say, look at what you're doing. You're killing children. But I'm glad that Texas is standing alone. I'm not alone.
I'm glad
that there are several states now that are starting to move and say no more.
So, and to, just to show, we're both very pro-life.
Very pro-life.
To a point that, like, this word has a negative connotation to it. So I want to qualify.
Extremist.
I am a non-violent extremist when it comes to the issue of life. I don't see any reason. I'm not like one of these people like, well, if you really want it for X, Y, and Z reason, and what if it's only in this time period? And like, look, life, I think people should be able to live. It's weird.
So
it's a weird stance.
I have struggled with the rape thing.
Yeah, no, I know. It's very difficult.
It's very difficult. But I think that puts you into an extremist category. Mm-hmm. But I think that's right, although I don't want to be the judge of that.
I mean, this is not really where we were going to go with this. But no. Here's how I would break that down for people who are thinking about the rape issue. You have three people involved in this.
I know.
Three people. Okay. You have a rapist, the victim of a rape, and a child, right?
So you want them punished by a baby. That's what you're, is that what you're?
I don't want them punished with a baby.
Right, okay.
No, right. I would think that I think would all agree, right?
Yeah.
That the rapist should be punished.
Yes.
Okay. We would all agree that the victim of the rape should not be punished.
Correct.
With a baby.
I don't want them punished with a baby.
We would all agree that the victim of the rape should not be punished.
Yes.
And we would all agree that the child should not be punished.
Correct.
So we are left, unfortunately, in a situation where we have to punish
one of the two.
Quote unquote, one of the two.
Yeah.
And so you are either choosing to punish the woman.
That's a really good way to look at it.
Thank you. You're either choosing
You've already made your point.
But I haven't finished it.
Okay.
If you're either choosing to punish the woman.
It's a little redundant now.
With this child she may not want and bring terror. And I think conservatives at times blow this off. Just have the kid. Like, this would be an incredibly traumatic and awful experience. And yes, sometimes there are positive outcomes out of it where your child from something like this could wind up being a real blessing. We've seen cases of that. But still, think about how you have to deal with 9 months
torture
of reliving this awful event. It is an excruciating experience. However, you also have to, it's not in a vacuum. You have to compare it against what the other outcome is, which is ending an innocent life. You have two choices here, to end an innocent life or to have a woman go through a terrible, terrible situation. Neither one is good, which is why, by the way, we've made rape illegal. It's one of the main reasons, because it shouldn't ever happen. But we can't, is it right to punish the child who's done nothing wrong?
No.
Because of the mom.
You're right. They're both really bad.
Really bad.
And by the way, I want you to know, it's not child rape what the Taliban is doing.
It's not.
It's something. It's marriage. It's marriage.
It's child. It's marriage.
It's just marriage.
Just
and they
not
don't
force marriage.
They are not looking at the social constructs of, oh, that's inappropriate. Oh, you're such a tight ass. If you're not willing to say, hey,
a prude,
a 30-year-old could marry a 12-year-old, you know. They're our allies. Anyway, that's a different story.
Providing us security.
Here's the problem with the Texas law is it doesn't have any teeth to it. And I don't think it can, but it doesn't have any teeth to it. It is only giving the average person standing in a court case.
Yeah. It's a very, I mean, this is why it's such a novel approach. By the way, yes, you sound like you're pro-choice now, and I just want to point that out.
Why?
Because you're the one that's saying there's a problem with the law. I haven't even said that yet.
Yet.
But I do think, I honestly don't think it's going to last when it goes through the court system. I think basically what essentially, and I would love to hear, maybe we can get a legal expert on this because I am not one. But if you think about how this works, basically, like, a woman goes in and gets an abortion at 12 weeks. The police can't do anything about it. The state officials can't do anything about it. They're prohibited in enforcing it in any way. All it does is that someone, let's say in Minnesota, gets wind of this. they can file a lawsuit against not the woman who had the abortion, but potentially the people,
the doctor and the nurses.
There. And it actually is super broad and vaguely written. It says anyone who aids and abets. The example every mainstream publication is using for that is you could even sue the Uber driver who drives them to the abortion.
Right.
Now, that seems to be totally...
That's where I went.
Right. That's when where I they
saw
all
that,
went.
When I saw that law, I was like, Uber drivers.
Right. Now, would that...
Get them.
Would you win any of these cases? Not necessarily. Every judge could say, screw you, this is frivolous, and we're not going to do it. However, it every single time this happens, it's going to cause the abortion clinic, you know, money as far as defending it, and it's going to cost the court system and resources. And so the idea, I think, is make it such a hassle to do an abortion, they just don't do them.
Gosh, you right? wouldn't think of the progressives would be against anything like
right.
that.
It sounds very progressive.
I mean, it's very progressive. It's like, you know what? Gas station attendants, you see a drunk person filling up gas. You're responsible and you could go to jail if you let him do it. Wait a minute. What?
So,
I mean, that is the same thing, except they attach jail time to it.
Right. Now, I happen to be a pro-life, nonviolent extremist.
Yes. Okay?
So I really want there to be zero abortions. However, I think if this was the way our laws worked regularly, we would have, like, think if you're in a liberal state and they were like, think of climate change. Every person who has an SUV is affecting climate change. You can sue them. Anyone in the country can sue them because they bought an SUV because we've passed a law that says climate change.
Shh, keep this to yourself.
Right. Like, there are a lot of examples of this. I just don't think this is how our laws work. I think what they've done is craft something really interesting, and what the Supreme Court said last night was not this is allowed, was that basically it needs to go through the system and we're not going to stop the law until it goes through the system. But even the conservatives in the court seem to express some doubt whether this would last.
Yeah.
Now, the conservatives have also made the point over and over again that what the left is doing lately is every law they don't like, a justice comes in and makes a national injunction against it and stops it from being implemented and doesn't allow it to go through the system. And that's what the conservatives, I think, are standing up for here. Not necessarily even this Texas law. They're standing up for the ability for these things to go through a system and go to the Supreme Court the way they're supposed to. Don't cut the corners.
You know what I really like about the left is the way that they hang everything on the Supreme Court until they go against them.
Oh, yeah.
And the minute they go against them, like, you know, did you see that New York is extending the pay no rent?
Oh, the eviction.
Yeah, the eviction moratorium. Mm-hmm. They're expanding it. How are you doing that?
Process-wise, though, what the Supreme Court said on that one was, you can't have the CDC just blanket do this. They don't have the power.
Oh, okay, so they could, state of New York does?
They said Congress could pass a law, and the state, I think, certainly could pass a law. Now, I would
argue... Reason number 575,871 not to live in New York.
Now, I would say, again, I disagree with that. Like, I don't think a state can pass a law saying you can't evict the people you're in.
That's insane.
Right. And I don't think that would hold up in court either. However, that's not what the Supreme Court came down with on the eviction ban. They said the CDC can't do this. If you want to try to do this, go through Congress and we'll deal with that. But again, even that, I think, is ridiculously unconstitutional.
It completely flips the free market on its head.
Yeah.
There is no such thing as private property.
Like, how could you sell anything?
No, you can't.
Like, if you were going to sell a car,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to sell a car and you have to make 5 years of payments. And then at any point, someone can just step in and say, well, you know what? 3 years, forget it. They only had to make 3 years of payments. Sorry. Why would anyone ever sell a car again? Because I might only get 60% of the money. I may get 10% of the money.
Because if the government is the one that is the backstop, that's why you're not hearing this argument on student loans, because the government is the backstop.
Right.
So nobody cares. We'll make the loan. We're going to get our money.
Right. And that's, you know, of course, wrong for other reasons.
It's wrong all the way around. It destroys the free market. It is why our schools are so expensive. It's one of the reasons. Because people wouldn't be able to do it unless the government was doing the loans. Because most people, would go in and try to get a loan for, you know, $250,000 worth of education for feminist studies, and they'd go, I think you're kind of a bad risk.
Yeah.
I think you're a bad risk. Well, summer is coming to an end soon, but our outdoor life is still for the taking. Nothing brings family and friends together quite like throwing some delicious food on the grill. And no grill will cook your food quite like a Rectech. With its smart grill technology, the Rectech rises above the competition to create the ultimate cooking experience. Imagine throwing on those perfect steaks, those juicy burgers and hot dogs, and maybe even, you know, a vegetable or two if you're feeling like crazy, and having everything turn out absolutely perfect and delicious. Well, with Rectech, that's exactly what you're going to get, because it monitors its own internal heat throughout the cooking process and makes sure everything is heated evenly. Meanwhile, you can monitor everything from an app on your phone or a device. If you're looking for a new grill, look no further. It's time to get a Rectech. Follow Rectech on all social media and sign up for their newsletter at Rectech with a Q at the end .com. That's RECTEQ.com.
This is the Best of the Glenn Beck Program.
A man that I am truly proud to call a friend is the Right Reverend Johnny Moore. He's the author of The Next Jihad. He also is a part of the K Company, kcompany.com. He is one of the leaders that is trying to save Christians all across the world. And it is really bad. And I wanted to talk to him about the Afghan alliance here. Hi, Johnny. How are you?
Hey, Glenn. Good morning.
Hey, by the way, congratulations. You got, like, I don't know, Humanitarian of the Year or something like that from the Simon Wiesenthal Center. I think it was last week, and I found out about it. That's quite an honor.
Look, I mean, Glenn, all of us have the opportunity to impact people's lives because of people helping us. And the fact of the matter is, you raised your voice and your audience responded for years, you know, on these issues. And every single person that has supported the Nazarene Fund, that has responded to your call to action, you know, they get to tell their future generations that they were involved in saving the lives of generations of people. I mean, because that's what it is. When you save one life, you don't just save one life. You save the family. You save their children and their children. And you have shown all of us what is possible if we just, like, don't just pay attention and pray and care, but, like, take action. And because of this, you know, people's lives are saved.
It's really amazing that you would bring this up, because I've thought of, you know, my last name is Beck, and, you know, that's obviously German. And while my direct descendants were here in America by the late 1800s, and some of them in the mid, I know that I have relatives over there, and I wonder, what side were they on? Did they do anything? And it was really important for me when I did my genealogy to see that I had two great-great uncles, or I don't know what they were, but they were lived in the time of the Civil War, and they fought for the North. One of them died in the notorious concentration camp for the South, and one really never recovered from it. But they were on the right side, and that meant a lot to me. And this time is like those times. That's not an exaggeration, do you think?
No, I don't think so. People don't know the difference between good and evil right now. And if you do see the difference between good and evil, you have to act and you have to respond. And, you know, one of the things that's just driving me insane this morning is the news, you know, coming out about the Biden administration already, literally today, a anonymous senior government official, which is probably Rob Malley, the Iran envoy, in the press talking about American willingness to negotiate with Iran again. You know, the fact that the Taliban was meeting in Beijing with the Communist Party 2 weeks before, you know, they started their march in Afghanistan. And we're living in a time where the people with the most power in the world, you know, our governments, you know, allegedly, they don't see the difference between good and evil. But the truth is, we have more power than our government when we decide to raise our voice and act. And that's what we've seen in the last couple of weeks. We've seen Americans that said, if our government's going to screw it up and they're not going to save lives, well, we're going to take the situation in our own hands. And we've saved thousands of lives because of it. But you know what? It's about the next battle. It's about the next crisis. And a lot of people are really fearful that the Biden administration is going to turn around and do in Iraq what we just saw happen in Afghanistan. And I can tell you, if you think what we've seen over the last 2 weeks is awful, we haven't seen anything like it. If they go turn around and do the same thing in Iraq,
you don't think they are, do you? Are they seriously considering
Glenn, I know that they are.
Oh my God.
I know that they are. They're talking about it. They're considering it. And we have to remember, you know, now you start looking at things differently. I mean, our defense secretary, you know, Lloyd Austin, and it's a good opportunity, you know, to remind everyone that no one in the U.S. government has been held accountable for the debacle that we just saw. But Lloyd Austin was the senior U.S. military officer in charge of the withdrawal in 2011 from Iraq. And this weekend, I was just sort of reading around, and I found a news article from The Atlantic in 2016, looking back at the Obama administration, and it quoted the fact that Lloyd Austin, our Secretary of Defense, was the one who told the President Obama that the ISIS militants were the JV team. They would be a flash in the pan, and history is repeating itself. And I'm telling you, if they move in the direction of making a deal with Iran, of letting the Communist Party of China, you know, in effect, take over Afghanistan
and
withdrawing from Iraq, I mean, this is a war. This is a war in the Middle East like we've feared for a long time.
Maybe one that's been foretold for a long time. This is a bloc that is influenced and protected by China. Railroads right over India, through Pakistan, through Afghanistan, into Iran, and possibly into Iraq and Syria. You've got a line to the Mediterranean Sea. I mean, for as good as things were getting in the Middle East under Donald Trump, as amazing as that was, this is just as far in the opposite direction, maybe even further.
We had just come out of the greatest era of stability and prosperity in the Middle East that we maybe have seen. And now we're seeing the keys of the Middle East handed over to the Communist Party and the mullahs in Iran. And this has to stop. And we have to keep saving lives, too, because all of these people are in harm's way. And we have to make sure that that our elected officials aren't, you know, able to just move on for this. I mean, at a minimum, you know, a lot of Americans, you know, My Faith Votes did a survey that said that 91% of people of faith in America think that an impeachment inquiry should be open. There's a lot of public opinion here. At a minimum, Senator Chuck Schumer should call the whole Senate back to Washington, D.C. and exercise a unanimous censure resolution of the President of the United States. Don't allow the White House to spin this story in the way that Americans don't believe it anyhow. But it's time for our elected officials to hold them accountable. But the clock is ticking. We have to do more to help more people now, because I'm afraid to say that this is not the last chapter in this awful story of the summer of 2021. It may very well be the first domino to fall. And what happens in the Middle East
affects us, the whole world.
It always comes back here.
Do you have any timeline? Have you seen anything on timelines on Iraq and what the signs are that we should be watching for?
You know, the administration has already talked about, you know, drawing down troops in Iraq. And the fact that on this very morning that you have senior government officials speaking unanimously to the press about engaging Iran, if we pull out of Iraq entirely, we are handing the keys of Iraq to Iran. And the ambitions of Iran have always been regional. They've been, you know, in fact, they talk about it openly. They've wanted to have influence in Afghanistan. They wanted to basically run Iraq. They've wanted in the past to take over Bahrain, you know, the country that has was at the heart of the Abraham Accords. They would like to surround the oil-rich Sunni majority kingdoms and essentially export their Iranian religious revolution, their extremism, but also take all of the natural resources and remake the world in their image. And for an administration that acts like they are the great champions of human rights, every minority, every religious community, every member of the LGBT community, every single person, every single one of them, they are facing not the prospect of death, imprisonment, the loss of their livelihood in future generations. It's not the prospect of it. It is going to happen if this takes place. And I just want the Biden administration to sort of like save us the moral platitudes and do your job. And the first job is to protect American interests with our foreign policy, not to lead from behind and to hand the keys to tyrants, whether they're in Beijing or Tehran.
Johnny Moore, thank you so much for bringing us up to speed on this. I have not seen that story today, and that is extraordinarily important. Thank you. Thank you very much. Johnny Moore, you can follow him at thekcompany.com or on Twitter at Johnny M. You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program. You know, Stu, what would the two things in government that you would be like, man, I want them laser focused on things. I want them laser focused on their job. Now, yes, it's true. I'd like them all, you know, FAA. Probably should be laser focused on their job.
Sure.
You know what I mean? I want them to concentrate on that. Military.
The military would be my number one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They should be laser focused mm-hmm. on that. Nothing else. Nothing else. Just getting that job done.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
I think the CDC would be one of those things.
Yeah. I think that's fair. Yeah. Yeah. I don't want them concerned about some new woke movement.
Yeah, I really want them laser-focused on, is the airlock sealed?
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of stuff.
We've seen what happens when other countries maybe don't have the airlock sealed so well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And, you know, we used to think that no news is good news from the CDC. When the CDC speaks, you're like, okay, why? Why are you talking? What's going on? Is there a seal that's broken? What happened? I saw that movie. That wasn't good. So 18 months ago, we never thought of the CDC because they were focused on their job. But 18 months is like forever ago, right? Now, since the CDC has been unable to control COVID-19, they are apparently attempting to control something else. Now, I want you to know, you cannot control COVID-19. Can we please get over this? I told you when it was in China. If this comes here and goes around the world, we will have to live with it for the rest of our lives. It's like the flu. And the flu of 1918 is still going around in one form or another. It's why we get shots. So can we stop making this into Ebola? It's not. And you can't cure it. You can do things to slow it down. You can do just like a flu shot. You can prepare for it. You can make the symptoms less severe, and we should be doing all those things.
Come up with therapeutics that will help lessen the symptoms.
Correct.
There's all sorts of things that can be done and are being done.
Right. Well, as long as they're approved. As long as they're approved. Don't talk to Joe Rogan. He is, I mean, we should crucify him.
I know. The media loves this story. And by the way, The fact that someone who is skeptical of vaccines or some treatment or whatever, and I don't even know if Joe Rogan really qualifies for that. His comments have been totally benign as far as I'm concerned. The fact that someone who's skeptical of vaccines gets sick is not a news story.
It's not.
It's not a news story. I will say also it's not a news story if someone gets vaccinated and gets sick. Neither one are news stories. They're not news stories. They're part of a statistical profile that goes on. Some people who think vaccines are really bad are going to get COVID and get sick. Some people who get vaccines are going to have breakthrough cases and get sick. Neither one of them are news stories. When one of them occurs because you know the person's name, I'll give you Tom Hanks.
That's the Tom Hanks, that first one, or like on day two of COVID, Tom Hanks gets COVID. That one I'll give you. Outside of that, I don't really need to know.
I can't believe I'm working with an extremist. Anyway, let me go back to the CDC. All right. They are now trying to control language. Language. Now, I mean, I want to talk about not being able to read a room. CDC, you really have one job, and it's an important job. It's not like you have one job, go clean the toilets. You have one very important job. Make sure the seals around the door don't crack, okay? That's your one job. And if you are confused by that, all you have to do is look at the title on your card, okay? The D, disease. That's what you need to concentrate on, disease. But not in the Biden administration. No, no, no. In this White House, in the insane asylum that has become this White House, any government agency is able and free and encouraged to weigh in on matters of wokeology. So I don't know if you saw this the other day, but I thought it was worth mentioning here that this week the CDC decided to provide Americans with its new preferred terms for select population groups and communities.
Oh, good. I was wondering about this. What select groups and opportunities can I learn about their preferred terms today?
Right. That's what I was thinking, right?
That's what I had it on my calendar this morning, just that way.
Right. From the people who... they're not quite sure if the seal was broken on COVID.
No, who
you
knows?
You might want to just... Anyway, that's the lane you should be driving in. I just wanted to let you know. Stay in your lane. Now, I learned, you probably learned, sticks and stones may break our bones, but the wrong terminology will murder us in cold blood every single time. I'm pretty sure that's the way it went.
Mm-hmm, something like that.
So here they are. And if I may quote our fearless leader, this is no joke. No joke, man. This is real. The guidelines you can now find at cdc.gov. You are no longer allowed to call someone a drug addict.
Okay, a drug addict is off the table.
Off limits. You now have to call them a person who injects drugs. Now, to me, that sounds worse.
First of all, it sounds worse. It takes 10 times as long to say. And what if you snort your drugs?
Yeah, exactly right. What if you're addicted to prescription drugs and you're addicted to prescription drugs? You're comparing me with a heroin user? I mean, I'm sorry. I may be addicted to drugs, but I don't stick needles in my arm.
Just from the perspective of just economy of syllables here, that's a long phrase to describe someone.
Mm-hmm. Well, try this one. Stu, don't you dare ever call me an alcoholic ever again. Now, some people have a problem. They're like, you're an alcoholic in recovery. Clunky. I'm an alcoholic. Okay. Mm-hmm. I am in recovery, but I'm an alcoholic.
Okay.
You can't say that. Either one of those. Now, I'm a person with alcohol use disorder. I'm not. I'm a sloppy drunk. That's what I am. I'm a sloppy drunk.
Again, like that doesn't help.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Don't. Are you not listening to science? This is the CDC.
Why on earth are they dealing with this?
You can't call people who smoke cigarettes smokers anymore. I don't know. Maybe that term can kill people faster than smoke. I almost said smokers. Oh, there I did. I said it. Oh, my gosh. I'm in trouble. You have to call them people who smoke. Not smokers. People who smoke. I wish.
Why on earth would that be better?
I don't
or
know.
Or worse. I mean, it's not worse. It's just the same thing. Someone who's a smoker.
Why, I'm just a messenger. Why you're crucifying me on this? I don't know. I'm not making this up. No joke. This is what they told me. This is real. This is happening, folks.
No joke, man.
Come on, man.
Don't refer to someone as homeless. Instead, they are a person experiencing housing insecurity.
Come on, just the silly. Well, homeless is two. Mm-hmm. What is it again?
A person experiencing housing insecurity.
What are we at, 15 syllables? From seven times the syllables? That's not appropriate. If you were
you are syllable resistant.
A person who resists syllables,
no,
thank you.
Because you are a person that is a person with syllable disorder doesn't mean the rest of us have to go down that path.
I mean, I could kind of understand this if we were going the opposite direction, right? We went from 15 syllables to two. Okay,
right, okay.
That makes sense.
No. Okay. And you can't say people are mentally ill. Even the people who wrote this list, I can't call mentally ill. Okay? Can't do it.
Can they be an exception?
They are people with a mental illness. Now, you might have detected a pattern here.
Yes,
okay?
I have.
Mm-hmm. All right. They're not that different. They're just putting the word people in front of a lot of it. Okay.
Right. Like they're saying essentially, if I could understand maybe their logic here, is that they're trying to say you are not defined by your alcoholism.
The good
you
news
are just a person who happens to deal with this ailment.
The good news is that the left is recognizing people as people. They don't normally do that. They've mm-hmm. been dehumanizing people for a very long time, i.e. abortion babies and anybody who disagrees with their vaccine nonsense or any of that. You're not really a person. But the good news is the CDC wants us to recognize that these are people. For instance, they're not just stupid employees of the CDC. They are people that work for the dim-witted idiots at the CDC.
There you go.
Right? Mm-hmm. Or the dim-witted idiots. No, sorry. The people that suffer from
idiocy
and dim-wittedness
okay.
that work at the CDC. I'm just saying.
Right.
So you can't say insane. That's insane. You're insane. What are you, insane?
Insane in the membrane?
What are you, a person with a pre-existing behavioral health disorder? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's effective.
Yeah. What are you? A person with a pre-existing behavioral health disorder? You got to say that a couple of times before it really... Pre-existing health disorder.
So that's 12 syllables mm-hmm, instead mm-hmm. of the two of insane.
Okay, so rural people. Rural people.
Does anyone go, hey, what are you, a rural... Is that a thing?
You rural people.
You damn rurals out there. Screwing everything up.
Yeah. You're not rural. You're people who live in a sparsely populated area.
Come on. These are not real.
These are real. Go to CDC.gov.
People who live in a sparsely populated area.
If you can't use the word elderly anymore. They're older adults or elders. That's the only one.
Oh, that one's good, though. Elders is better than elderly. Yeah.
Yes,
I think they've improved that. On earth they're spending their time doing it, I don't know. But elders
I think they're pretty sure that all the seals work. I think that's what it is.
So they haven't led they haven't funded any research that led to a global pandemic today so they can do this.
They can do this. Okay, they're like, hey, I don't think we're funding anything really spooky in China or, you know, some gulag in Russia. So what do you say we work on language?
I think they are still doing that funding, but that's a whole other situation.
I can pretty much guarantee it.